ain't blowing no smoke. I mean, I've been sober, but you should have known it. I wasn't going.
Hey everyone, and this is Mental Health is True Wealth. I'm your favorite autonomy coach, AB.
I'm Whitney.
And we are your mental health personal trainers. Welcome to the session. So today's topic of discussion is the importance of communication.
It's important.
It's very important. Very, very important. This is one of the pillars of the foundation of a relationship. And so it's very important that you take care of it. But check this out. Communication is way more vital than just only in your actual relationship. Communication is vital at work. Communication is vital in your friendships. So, even though this is under the relationship column, it can really fall anywhere.
That is an excellent observation. I do think a lot of times maybe we are better at communication in our like professional lives. I know that at work I feel like I am a little bit more communicative of my needs, of things that I may feel need to be addressed. And maybe it's just because of the field that I'm in. But I feel like a lot of times when I come home and I communicate with my family or I communicate with you, I may not be as descriptive or may not be as forthcoming, that's a better word. I may not be as forthcoming about, you know, what I need or how we need to proceed or what we can do to make it a more hospitable environment for both of us. And I think a lot of us suffer from that. You know, we go to work and we are these just social beings. We're able to function and we come home and, you know, our family members, our partners, they kind of get what's left over from that.
If you know. If you know, she lied about that part, her not being vocal at home. Very not true.
That's not what I said. That's that I didn't communicate as well.
Ooh, I still don't think that's very true either. So let's move on to the first question, right? How important do you think communication is to maintaining a healthy relationship?
Well, I think that we can all, as a collective, agree that it's, like, vital. Like, on a scale of 10 out of 10, it's probably, like, a 13 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Damn. 13 out of 18.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when people are arguing, how do you view that in the form of communication?
Okay, so that's kind of a hard one. I do think that disagreements are natural, and that, you know, it's kind of important to have those conversations even where you have a differing understanding of whatever situation that you have. I think that the problem with most people comes in with how you express those feelings about those disagreements and when, if that makes sense.
I would agree. Mm-hmm. I would definitely agree. Arguing is 100% normal.
Disagreeing. Arguing okay. Is a very negative connotation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, For the purpose of this, we'll say disagreeing. I think it is very normal in a relationship. I agree with her. It's how you go about having those disagreements, definitely where you have those disagreements. But the most important is, I think, how you recover from those disagreements. So disagreements are normal. If you are not having any level of disagreements in your relationship, are probably not having some difficult conversations.
So I'm going to knock the... This is a gavel. What
you think you're in a people's court?
Yes.
What?
So I'm going to have to disagree with you about it's how you recover from those arguments, those disagreements. And I always say it because there are a lot of toxic relationship cycles that depend on this kind of apology phase. And so a lot of people forget all the other things that took place prior to that. And then they're just so willing to just, you know, kind of fall back into this environment because it's good for a little bit. And then it's toxic again. And I think it's very important that you're able to recover after a disagreement. But I think it's also very important to acknowledge, what kind of disagreement was this? What spurred it? How did my partner react? Were they able to control themselves? Were they able to articulate themselves? And so I think that that is very important for both sides, which again is why I said when you argue is important. if you are hot, you need to take a step away. You need to go sit in your car for a hot second. If you don't drive it, just sit in there, turn on some YouTube, turn on some music, listen to some ASMR. You know, when you argue, and I know sometimes it's very hard to keep your feelings in check, or to say, okay, you know what, let me say this for tomorrow. But you have to go to work. You know, I see people at work arguing, texting, going in, novels, okay? People have to go to work. They can't even get dressed. They're crying, bawling because they just had this, you know, knockdown, drag out fight with their partner. And I think it's just unfair. You know, I think that being respectful to whomever it is that you have a disagreement with, even in the midst of that disagreement, is crucial. And if you cross paths with a person that doesn't respect you enough to say, you know what, let me put this on the back burner, unless it's just some kind of wild, crazy thing that you need to address right now, let me put this on the back burner, I feel like that could be a red flag. And I don't think that just because they made up for it and they were really nice to you after, it should be all okay, it's fine.
Yeah, completely. I think that's why I said it's how you disagree. That was the very first part, because definitely we're starting to go into a little different segment, but just to clear it up really quick, it's definitely how you disagree, which is very, 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 very important, but also that recovery stage, because ultimately in the disagreement, and not in all situations, one is going to have to kind of submit to it. And so with that situation, how y'all recover, like, okay, you know what, babe, you might have had this one, or I've been able to self-reflect and I can understand or see your perspective. That recovery stage is just as important, following back up to make sure they feel heard, even when you have a disagreement. It's like the basis of agreeing to disagree. But that is very important, that recovery, because it shows respect to your partner. All right, next question.
Y'all, why you sitting here like showing dirt?
So, with that, moving into the next one, what are some important ways, or what are some ways that we can use active listening with our partner?
I think that's your favorite question. I'll address it, but child, she loves talking about some darn listening. You listening to her song. I think that, you know, even in my clinicals, I think active listening really, really requires you just to take a step back for a second and just really hear what a person has to say, process it. You know, even sometimes repeat things back, like, let me just make sure that I heard you said this, you felt this way, I did this, and you interpreted it as. Because if you really truly listen, a lot of times you can gain a better understanding of where somebody's coming from. And then it's like, oh, you're not upset about this. You're upset because you thought that I intended it for this reason. And I think a lot of times, again, just harping on it again, that's why I feel like sometimes it matters when you disagree, because, or when you talk about the disagreement, because a lot of times when it's right after, you're so in your feelings, and I'm like that too. You're so in your feelings, you can't even articulate yourself wholly. And so everything you said, duh, and I got upset. You know, but if you take a second, okay, this is what happened, I was bothered by this point, and you can just, you know, speak your piece so much more easily and fluidly after you've had time to really think it over. Additionally, you're not as emotional, which emotions are not bad. They're not bad, but we all know, I think it's kind of just a general thing, how we are sometimes when we're coming from a very emotional space. And so processing those emotions and then really addressing like the facts of the situation, or the facts as you perceive them, is kind of important.
Definitely, definitely. Tabling issues that might be difficult, there's no problem with that. Table it. Hey, we'll come back around to this. Because when you are in that heightened stage of emotions, you're typically not listening to actually listen. You're listening to ready to throw that response out, because I am right. And so I'm going to defend my principle at all costs. And at that point, you're not having effective communication. You're kind of just wasting your breath at that time. So sometimes it's best to table something, double back around, and then you can use that effective communication to actually dive a little bit deeper. But to have that effective communication, you have to activate your listening. And some of the things she said, like labeling emotions and just summarizing and giving things back to your partner, lets them know, A, they're paying attention and they're not spaced out watching Avatar in their mind. This is true. It's just true. So moving forward, dealing with conflicts, because again, communication is the root to going through and dealing with conflict. What do you think is a great way for a couple to deal with conflict?
A great way for a couple to deal with conflict. Okay. So I think just kind of keeping in line with what we've been discussing, I think what's important is to not allow a disagreement or a bad feeling that you're harboring to just kind of escalate out of control. I feel like a lot of times that's when we kind of just blow up. It's like, you know what? You was eating wrong at dinner and you did X, Y, Z all these other past weeks and I'm sick of it. I'm done. So I think maybe finding a time where you can just really check in with one another, if that's once a week or, you know, bi-weekly, hey, how are you feeling? You know, what is this? Is this relationship serving you like it serves me? Are you feeling heard? Are you feeling loved? Just checking in with that person, because I find that a lot of times we can say, hey, you know what? You did this to me a few days ago, and I don't think that you meant it in a negative way or in a harmful way, but this is the way that I perceived it, and I just want to know if we can address it. And then just really saying, hey, you know what? I kind of wish that we had more of this. I think we need more of this. Can we plan a date night? I'm feeling, you know, a little lonely, et cetera, et cetera. Because if you address things before you halfway off the cliff, I think that it's a lot more effective.
Absolutely. Absolutely. First, when you are dealing with conflict, you have to fight fair. You have to fight fair. Boy, you know, I don't even hold you, but especially like in, like, you know, the community, you know, when we get into that battle, because we're like sometimes perceived as same sex, this does not apply to everybody. That's the disclaimer. Disclaimer. But, you know, we like, shh, we two females. No. So making sure that you fight fair is very important when you're dealing with conflict, because sometimes you can cause so many scars that you can't recover from. So be conscious in your mind of the battles that you pick up and choose your battles wisely. Our parents taught us that when we were young. Choose your battles wisely. Same thing applies into your relationship, even at your job. You choose your battles. You ain't going in there every time going ham on your boss. Same thing in relationships. Choose your battle wisely. The next thing with dealing with conflict, I think that a major thing is respecting differences. It's like sometimes the things that were opposite of each other that drew you to each other, it becomes weaponized down the road. And so remembering to respect each other's differences, we don't have to necessarily have the same feelings on everything. Long as our core principles align, I can respect that you feel differently. You can respect that I feel differently. And then we can move forward. So I think those are some big things when you start talking about handling conflict.
Yeah, I like how you address the differences. I think that it's very important to learn that about your partner, too. You know, there's some things that don't really bother some people but are very triggering for others. You know, if your partner don't like you slamming doors, don't be in there slamming doors, even if it is a release for you. You don't want to be destroying stuff. You don't want to make your partner agitated. You know, some people don't want you to yell. And some of us just naturally have a lot of voices. So you need to be conscious about how you're talking to that person, because they're not going to receive what you're saying if you're saying it in a way, you know, that causes them to shut down. So you just have to really be cognizant of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So in a relationship, it's very important that you express your needs and desires. I believe that that is something that should be kind of done early on in the relationship. So that way both parties enter into the relationship with the same expectations,
yeah,
and understanding how they can provide for their partner. Absolutely. What do you think is a great time to talk about your desires, your needs?
Oh my gosh, I feel like they need to be right in those conversations. I mean, maybe not the first date, but you know, you could be like, oh, what's your favorite color? Okay, what's your attachment style?
On the first date?
That could be like the second or third date, maybe.
Okay.
I think it needs to be early on. Yeah. Because let's just be very honest. You know, I think a lot of people in dating culture, which is why I think we have a lot of the hookup culture type stuff, because people have found themselves doing all this stuff for these super long periods of time. And, you know, and then they get to this space with this person and realize that they have differences fundamentally in the way that they want to be loved, in the way that they show affection, in the way that they live, and how they interact with their families. And I was like, dang, I gotta start all over. Like, those are foundational conversations. So I do think that they should take place pretty early.
Yeah. If you see potential in the person, I do feel like that is a conversation that you have to have kind of early. I think you have to have a good medium. You don't want to be too intense too early.
Baby, I'm
that's going to have them running to the hills real quick. Mm. Like, sis, wait, hold on. I was just trying to take you to Applebee's.
Mm. 2 for $20.
That's it. And you going a little too deep. I was bored. I didn't want to be in the house by myself. Mm. So you have to be mindful of that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, they probably paying. But, you know, and then you don't want it to stretch out too long to the point that you have been with this person for a very long time and now they're your comfort zone and you don't really know them either.
That's a
or
word.
What you need.
Start finding stuff out. You like, dang, I'm with a stranger.
Yeah.
I will say, because I am getting up in age, I do really like that about this new generation, like younger kids. And I don't know if they grasp all the meanings, but I love that they're literally like, you know, what's your love language? What is, because those are things that I did not ask when I was in college. I did not ask those things. I was like, oh, he's cute. Ooh, she cute.
Wow, that's all it took.
So I think the earlier the better.
Wow, yeah, I think so too. Just again, balance. But definitely, prior to getting in a relationship, you have to lay that foundation. Mm-hmm. This is what I need. This is what I expect. Mm-hmm. So that you feel satisfied, but also your partner don't feel blindsided. Because for you to pop up out the blue and start needing X, Y, and Z, and you ain't say that to get in this situation,
baby,
it's just a little off-putting, as my girl
said. Is it going to be 50-50? Is they covering all the bills? Baby, we need to know. Okay?
Immediately. So, what are some ways that a couple can communicate on a non-verbal level?
And it was like this older couple that had clearly been together for quite some time, and the wife had bent down to pick something up off the floor, and the husband like put his hand on the edge of the table, so when she lifted her head back up, she put her head up. And I know that's such a random thing, but I think and that's only one example, right? But I think being protective of your partner, kind of, you know, picking up maybe in those areas where they lack. I always leave my phone places. I will sit it down. I'll think about it. I'll be halfway to the car. I'm like, oh, darn, where's my phone? And she'll have it in her pocket, you know? I think, okay, if your partner is out somewhere and you can tell they're upset, you can feel their body language change, which a lot of times, after you've been with somebody for so long, you can kind of tell when they become uncomfortable.
When they're shifting that
right.
energy.
Just, you know, give them a little comfort. Put your hand on their arm, on their leg. Hey, I'm here. I'm your support. I think it's so cool when you meet somebody and they kind of know where you lack, i.e. the lady, she probably look clumsy. She probably be hitting her head on stuff all the time. He was like, ooh, not today. Put his hand right there.
Don't want to go to the hospital.
We don't want to turn around and pick my phone up. So just, you know, those little things, those little acts of service, those little physical touches. Like, I don't always remember this all the time, but I know that my partner got me. You know, it's just very reassuring.
Absolutely. Nonverbal communication is essential to a relationship. In our minds, we think communication is just the words out of our mouth, but it's not. You can communicate also with your actions. And it's very important that your actions also communicate with your partner. Little things like how she said, I know she will forever forget her phone, and then we'll be in a frenzy if we leave without that phone. So to make my life easier and to appease her, I make sure I pick that phone up before we head on out, just to make life simple. And so there's other ways that you can do nonverbal. I think one time me and her, we did a scavenger hunt in the house just as a way, because we were never seeing each other. Her schedule was opposite of mine. We didn't really have the time to just kind of be present with each other. And then our communication styles are different, which we'll get into next. And so it was just, how do we communicate? So I set up the scavenger hunt for her to come home, nonverbal. So it's just other ways. Be creative. It is 2024. You got to step your game up. You got to step your game up. These girls want more. These men want more. So just keep that in mind. There's other ways to communicate with your partner. So, what do you believe, or how do you believe technology is impacting relationships? Is it a good way? Is it a bad way? And we're talking about texting, social media. How do you feel that it's affecting relationships? And especially the way that they communicate with their partner. Woman, double back to you.
No, I can answer it. Okay. I think it may be more bad than good. I will start with the good since it's less. I think it's good just in sometimes I don't want to talk. I'm one of those people, like, I just do not want to talk. I don't want to be verbal. I want to sit in my corner, mind my business, and watch some Netflix. So being able to text, hey, you know, this is how I'm feeling today, you know, sorry if I don't reach out, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, sorry if I'm being a little distant, it's not you, it's me. It's so easy, and it's just, I think, for some people, that really gives them a break that they need, and so I like that. Otherwise, though, I don't know, things come across so differently in text messages. I quote text messages all the time when I'm upset or something, because you type it out, and whatever your intent was, gets completely lost in that however many characters you get.
Now it's unlimited. It's unlimited. You can send a 3-page letter and goddamn text message.
Just so many miscommunications. Like, we're sitting here talking about nonverbal communication. We're talking about active listening. We're talking about all these things that you can't really do when you're sending text messages. It's just not a thing, you know? Yeah. So that's kind of how I feel.
Absolutely. That tone is so important. When you're having a conversation with someone, just, you can say the same thing, and just the inflex of your voice can let someone know, like, oh, that's a question, or she's excited, or, and you don't get that with texting. So I believe that texting leaves a lot of room for misunderstandings. You know, someone's reading, oh, they're mad at me. No, in fact, I'm not. I'm really happy today. And that's the downside to texting. You don't get to see those feelings. You don't get to see that facial expression. You don't get to hear that tone. I do agree. I think that technology is kind of a bad thing, even though I love it. I love it. If anybody know me, they know that I will go missing for days at a time. And when I pop back up, it's about a 3-4 word text message. You know I love you, but give me 50 feet now. And it's the downside, because you lose that connection with people. But I'm not big on phones. You could come and see me. I'll talk to you for hours. But to just sit there and hold this phone up, like up here, and then the AirPod in here, it's just too much. It's too much going on. Social media. I think it was the worst thing that could have ever
happened. I think there's just a lack of responsibility, even to people that you're dating, you know, maybe not so much older people, but I think, you know, teenagers, younger people, college age people, you get these relationships, you know, they end, whoever is upset, now you on social media, post subliminals, you know, sending stuff via Snapchat that you would never say to that person's face. Just, there's a lack of accountability when you can send something via text, via DM, and you don't really have to stand on it. Not to say we need to be here. Just
she sound like Zeus Network. Stand on business. Oh, no, that's TV. Stand on business. Stand on business.
So I think when there's no fear of repercussions, people just get a little out of pocket.
That's true. So folks get a little internet gangster in them when they can chit chat over the line.
Not over the line.
You know. Fingers be quick like they gang banging.
Oh my God.
I think just even outside of that, the same things that happened in the old relationships are happening now, but because it can be viewed by the mass, it becomes like, oh, I'm embarrassed. Because the same thing that you just mentioned, like going to a social media event. Well, back in the day before you had social media, you went to your friend's event. But guess what? Your friends in real life is only like 2-3 people. Versus now, social media, your friends is 2,000 people. And you're venting.
Don't let you go viral.
And don't let you go viral.
Okay, Risa Tisa.
Risa Tisa! Don't let you go viral. The whole world know. And, you know, it's the same thing even if you hearted a picture. Mm-hmm. You might be with your girlfriend. You see a very, or partner, excuse me. And you see a very attractive woman. You look. You're like, oh, my God, this person's cute. The equivalent to hearting pictures. But because it is so public and everybody can see it, you disrespected me. Mm-hmm. I just hearted a picture.
There's that. And I don't think it's just for everybody. Again, this is nothing that we say is a generalization. These are just
observations
that we've made. Or, okay, I guess everything we say is a generalization.
Yes, yeah,
we ain't trying to pinpoint this on nobody, okay? But I think also you see those relationships.
But if the shoe fit, wear it.
I think also you see those relationships where people, you know, they pretend. And I think that that's a big thing. And I will say that maybe you kind of had something similar back when our parents were there. You know, they would pretend they were happy.
But yeah, that is business outside his house.
Right. But now it's like, now you got to pretend you're happy for your 20,000 followers. Or, you know, it's just a different concept. And it's just that fear of you know, being single or having to, you know, express like, hey, actually, we were really unhappy. Or having to delete all their photographs off your Instagram and feeling like, oh, I'm looking crazy now. And then I think there's the other spectrum where you date people and they're feeling a way because you're not posting them. Oh, well, you don't post me. Oh, well, why people don't see me? Oh, and, it, you know, maybe that's just not true. I know for me personally, I'm not huge on social media. I don't necessarily feel like everybody in the world needs to know who I'm talking to, who I spend my time with. But there are some people that don't feel like whatever you have is valid unless everybody does.
That's like hiding, but that's the equivalent again back to like hiding somebody. Imagine you in a relationship and they tell you you can only come out after 10 p.m.
No one said that.
y'all weigh in on this in the discussion.
Please
let us
in.
Know where, how you feel. Whose side you on? I need to know. I need to know. But what are some ways that a couple can work on their communication? They realize, hey, this is an area of weakness for us. How do we strengthen it?
I think they have to communicate. I'm not trying to be funny. Everything is basic communication. Nobody is going to know what you need unless you express it to them. You don't go to a restaurant and hope that they just know you're allergic to shellfish. No, you say it. Hello, sir. What items on your menu do you have that don't have shellfish? That's the same way you have to be in a relationship, especially early on. So nobody's arguing or saying, oh, well, you didn't come in like this in the beginning. Hey, these things. Or even if you don't feel like sharing right off. Hey, I have had bad experiences with people yelling at me. Hey, I have had bad experiences with people using expletives. Hey, I don't like to argue or discuss things right after they have happened. Set some ground rules for your partner so that you guys can agree on them and move accordingly. But you can't be in the middle of whatever y'all have going on like, oh my God, like this is bothering me. I hate when you do this. Because y'all both upset and nobody's taking it in. And so I think that setting ground rules for how to effectively communicate with one another early on, again, is something that needs to be discussed sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. As she was stating, boundaries, boundaries, boundaries. Boundaries will shape that communication. I also think that if you realize there is a problem with communication, you may need a third party to step in to communicate, more likely a professional.
Yes.
And the reason why I say this is because, example, we are partners. She speaks only Spanish. I speak only French. In our minds, yes, it's as simple as communicating, but if we're speaking two different languages, how do we effectively communicate? And that's where you struggle at. And that's where another person that comes in that's an interpreter who speaks both Spanish and French can help relay the conversation. And to be honest, that's all that a therapist is doing. They're just reflecting your, they're being a wall for your thoughts and your opinions and your feelings to bounce off of and land back to the right person, hopefully, if they're being receptive to it. So communication, it sounds really easy, and for some relationships it might be seamless. They'd be like, man, I ain't never had an issue with that. But for others, it might just be the way that you communicate. You might be speaking different languages, and just the message can't get across. So for effective communication, they have to send the message, I have to receive the message as it's intended, and then I have to verbalize that I understand it. And somewhere in there, when there's a breakdown in that communication, got to figure out how to repair it.
We're all for therapy. And you also have to remember, you can't go talking to just anybody about your problems, because you're going to tell your mama, and now your mama going to hate whoever you're talking to, because you not told what was going on. And so now every time you bring up, not that.
Because real life, like, you going to forgive that person,
yep.
But the your rest of us going to still be beefing. Not your even just your mama.
Boy, I still got beef with this boy that my cousin used to date back when we was in high school and college. If I could fight, I might be taking my right now.
Wow. I think she might have had a Red Bull or something. I'm not very sure what just occurred there. But absolutely. You better know that forgiveness is a one-way street, baby. Ain't nobody else that you told all that dirt that person did on you is they trying to forgive it. So you do have to be...
I'm bringing it up every time.
You do have to be conscious with who you vent to, because you might not get the response that you want. Just put it out there. Y'all do what y'all may with that. So we hit on boundaries. Let's just dive into it. Boundaries. How does it play a role in relationships? How does it affect communication? What are your thoughts on boundaries? How do you define and understand personal boundaries in a relationship?
I think the importance of boundaries is making sure that you are happy and taken care of so that you can be present in your relationship in the way that you should be. Like, a lot of people enter into these situations and they just want to be everything for their partner and they lose themselves in the process. And so I, for one, have started to make it a point to, you know, communicate more effectively with her. Like, you know, she loves doing this and I think it's wonderful too, but you know, sometimes it may be on a day where I've just worked a stretch of days and I just want to exist. I don't want to do anything. And I'll tell her, like, hey, can we resume this conversation tomorrow? Hey, let's talk about it tomorrow. Right now I just need some peace and quiet. And it's the same with my family, even my mom, my brother, and my brother, whoo child, he might be too good at setting boundaries, but he'll real quick shut me down like, hey, I don't feel comfortable talking about this. Hey, if you keep talking about it, I'm going to hang up. Like, so I don't know. And even though it's like frustrating in the moment, in the long run, that preserves relationships. Because we could keep talking about it and then he can harbor those feelings forever and we don't have the same relationship that we have, which right now is really cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, in the moment it might seem like, oh dang, she been a little cold, but no, I'm protecting myself so that we can be better.
Yes, that I think she worded that perfectly, 100%. Boundaries are necessary and it's very hard if you have never placed boundaries on anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was something that me and her are still learning together, is how to place those boundaries and not maybe worry
feel
or
slighted,
be
slighted. Right? Is that what you're saying? Like feel slighted, like feel away?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think naturally me and her, we're both givers. We give and give and give, even when we don't have anything left to give.
Child, cut me dry.
Dry. Dry. Dry, like how when Remy licked that bowl, baby. But it do, boy. It do. But we will manifest and create some water somewhere to give to somebody, even when we don't have it. And so we're learning how to place those boundaries. And what's crazy is that external factors will start to influence, like us not putting boundaries on other people will start putting pressure on your relationship.
Because now you're resenting them. And honestly, it's not their fault. And I'm not going to say people pleasers, it's your fault. But if you're not telling somebody no and they keep coming back, like what?
Well, no, that's not what I mean. So that part is the first step in it, right? So the craziest part is those lack of boundaries on everyone else can start to cause this external pressure to where you really might be mad at something that happened between, you know, just using that example, you and your brother. But now you're taking that and you're bringing it inside the home. So the lack of boundaries everywhere can start to affect your relationship. Just not also having boundaries in your relationship. It's important.
Yes. All right, so we're going to go on and cut it off because we know y'all got stuff to do. People to see.
Places to be.
But we will have a part two. I think we both enjoyed this conversation, so we hope y'all did too. Don't forget to tune in or whatever the YouTubers be doing. At the bottom, we want y'all to tell us, do you post your significant other? Do you feel like that's a requirement for a relationship? I don't, but what y'all think?
Absolutely. Tune in on any of our information. We love getting feedback. We love getting questions. Feel free to always send us questions. We will follow this up with a part two series, continuing to dive into communication because we realize it is a lot to communication.
It's a lot.
So we don't want to hold you. We appreciate your time so far. This is Mental Health is True Wealth. I'm your favorite autonomy coach, AB.
I'm Whitney. Bye.
And we gone.